Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Yeah. Friday afternoon, WTIC. Len Suzio is going to be here in a few minutes. Was there something you wanted to say, Anthony? You look like you're in there.
I was talking to Carolyn.
Okay. Well, you stood up and put your hands on the controls like you were all fired up.
Not long after its new creation, the Department of Disinformation has now been told to put things on hold. How will we survive as a nation?
That's a good point. Scratchy?
Hey, Todd, I'm going to fool you once again. So, no, there are not an entourage of special ed personnel in any one particular school. If anything, there are not enough. The onslaught of ADHD, oppositional defiance, syndrome, all these new disorders have sprung up from the 80s to current day.
Yeah, why?
And because everybody wants their child to go to college, then they push their child through special education so they get the attention that they need or require in order to do well or to succeed.
But are these real? And would these disabilities have parents pushing kids to have them treated if there wasn't so much money involved? In other words, if you pump money into the industry, then that creates an incentive to get your kid in there so they can get special attention and get into college. Doesn't it? That was the point that was being made yesterday. 860-522-9842. Traffic update.
It's the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah, so yesterday, I guess, feels like it was longer ago, but it was just yesterday. We were talking to Len Suzio, right? We were talking to you yesterday about electric. We were costing electricity out and trying to figure out why the price is going up. Is that what we were doing?
Yes, this is Groundhog Day again, isn't it?
I'm confused. It all feels so far away and close at the same time. So I thought it would be good to have you back because I felt like we'd left that thing hanging out there, that whole idea of what's going on in the state with regard. Because everybody's suffering, Len, with the high cost of living in the state. And to some extent, I feel like people are getting used to the agony. Because they just feel like it's baked in, like it's always going to be agonizing to try to pay the bills here, but that doesn't have to be the case, does it?
No, it does not, and it should not be the case, but I can't blame people because they feel like they have no power or influence over this, and a lot of it has to do with the politics going on in Connecticut. Yes, the exorbitant electric prices here in Connecticut are partially due to things that are economic in nature, but a large part of it's got to do with the politics. And one dramatic example of that is the enormous price differential between what people pay Eversource for their electricity and what the people of Wallingford pay to the Wallingford utility. It's about half of the price of the Eversource electricity. So you say, well, wait a minute. If all uses for high energy or electricity costs in Connecticut are the fact that Connecticut's located in an area where there's no natural gas, or there's no natural resources that are available, so we've got to import all this stuff. Well, so was Wallingford. Wallingford's right in the middle of the state. And
that's a great point, Len. How is it that Wallingford can do the impossible?
Because there are several things. One is, number one, they don't generate their own electricity. So no one can say, well, they got their own generation plant there, et cetera. No, they buy it. They buy their electricity
on the open
like
market.
Eversource does in the open market, exactly. But they're not saddled, number one, with the politics that of electricity like Eversource is. And so to some extent, what I'm about to say will exonerate Eversource from some culpability anyways, because a lot of this has to do with the ridiculous green energy policies, renewable energy policies that are imposed on the customers of Eversource and
yeah, so forget about the politics of it. Just stick to the facts of it. So Wallingford can do electricity a lot cheaper because it's not a big animal that the Democrat leech machine are jumping on the back of and poking holes in to suck the blood out of.
Right. They're not subject to the 30% of the energy. It's got to be renewable energy, just like UI and Eversource is. And they
but there's no reason for that, is there? I mean, the point I'm trying to make, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the point I'm trying to make is the cost of electricity is what it is in Wallingford. That's
right.
The base cost of what what people with Eversource should be getting billed. And you're saying because
that's
of
right.
the politics of the ruling party of the Democrats, that they've decided they want to artificially elevate the cost of electricity for everybody else. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
I just want to make that clear without getting into the whatever the excuse is, because that means they could be doing it the same as Wallingford. I just want everyone to understand that.
Absolutely. Wallingford's got the same situation that Connecticut has. It's right dead center of Connecticut, pretty much. So the same excuses that are used to blame the high energy costs from that are charged to UI and Eversource customers would apply to Wallingford, but they're 10, 12 cents a kilowatt hour less than what Eversource is and what United Illuminating charge their customers. And they don't have any natural advantages. So what explains it? What explains it is the politics that are going on in Connecticut. The fact that 30% of your electricity has got to be generated by renewable resources is a big factor in that.
Yeah, but that's only one, right? So there's all the politics. Don't they pay for a lot of politics too?
Oh yeah, there's a lot. If you take a look at these little bitty charges that are in the teeny fine print in your utility bill, you'll see that there's all these other funds that money's got to be. You're getting charged for a penny here, a half a cent there, and before you know it, it adds up to real money. And it's all stuff that's politically dictated. That again, in that case, I can't blame Eversource. Now, I do believe that the Public Utility Regulatory Authority in Connecticut is to blame as well. Of course, they're controlled by politicians, because I believe that they allow exorbitant profits for Eversource and UI that are beyond what they should be allowed. So the profit motive is definitely a factor there, which Wallingford doesn't have, because Wallingford, again, is a nonprofit. It's a municipal.
But that's not, you can't blame them for it, because they're strictly regulated by PURA, which is the government. So the government tells them what they can make for profit. That's not their fault that they're making that profit. That's the government's fault.
That's right. It's politics again. And don't forget that back about 10 or 11 years ago, when Governor Malloy was the governor of Connecticut, there was a big public discussion about whether Connecticut's locally owned utilities should be sold. Northeast Utilities should be sold to Eversource, you know, a regional utility. It wasn't even called Eversource, I believe, at that time. And there was, I'm certain, Todd, you're going to be shocked to hear this, but there were thousands of dollars of contributions coming from the high paid utility executives into the Malloy campaign back then, And lo and behold, when Malloy became governor, he gave his blessing to the merger, the acquisition of the Northeast utilities by the regional utilities.
But what's the leverage? Because what you're describing, Len, we're talking to Len Susio, what you're saying is that the Democrats wanted to pull the electrical business into the government and merge the two to some extent so that they could take advantage of that money flowing partially through their hands and certainly through their control as the most regulated entity probably in the state. And why is that so important to Democrats? What do they get out of that, that being successful and having low electric rates wouldn't overwhelm that argument?
Well, they get money and they get power as a result of the money that flows from this, because all these tens of millions of dollars that are politically mandated to be imposed on consumers in Connecticut, basically Eversource gets blamed for that because it's in your utility bill. So people just say, oh, Eversource is charging me more money. They're making more money. But it's not. It's the politicians that are dictating it to Eversource. So the politicians get the best of all worlds here. They get the power that flows from the money that they can steer into their funds, and they don't get the blame for it because Eversource gets the blame, since they're the ones who are delivering the bills to the consumers here in Connecticut.
Wait, but so Eversource does the electrical business, and how does state government get, how do the politicians benefit from being able to charge all those little fees?
Well, there's millions of dollars that are diverted into different funds that the politicians have control over. When I was in the state Senate, there was a controversial vote. There were a number of them, but one of them had to do with using this bank, the Green Energy Bank. Money, tens of millions of dollars were going into it and were supposed to be used for renewable energy. And to balance the budget that year, and I'm going back, I think it was 2017 or 18. They basically said, we're going to raid that fund and we're going to use it to balance the budget. And that was part of the way they were able to manipulate the budget and balance it without increasing taxes that particular year. So what goes on is that money is power, Todd. You know that. And so if you can control, even if it's not your own money, if you can control where the money is going, that is a source of power for you. And that's what's going on behind the scenes in terms of energy politics here in Connecticut. And it's not a small bit of change. It's millions and millions and millions of dollars. And again, I ask the question over and over again, how is it that Wallingford's utility can deliver energy at half the price of Eversource? And if anything, they're not a utility themselves. They're just buying it from other sources. If anything, you think they're at a disadvantage vis-a-vis Eversource, but they're, and by the way, the power that comes into Wallingford through the transmission lines is coming through Eversource's transmission deal with Eversource as well. And they're able to negotiate a much better deal than for the people of Wallingford, God bless them, compared to the rest of people in Connecticut who are stuck with.
So tell me if this conclusion is fair. The reason Wallingford can bill its residents half the price that Eversource bills for the rest of the state or most of the rest of the state is because Wallingford is too small to harass.
That's an interesting way to phrase it. I like that. Well, yeah, they're flying under the radar, basically. In fact, we might have ruined it today for the people of Wallingford. My guess is next year when the legislature meets, that's going to be one of the things on the agenda. They're going to start nailing the people of Wallingford for all these extra charges that they nail the Eversource and United Illuminating people.
Because it does seem strange that, I mean, as ruthless as the Democrats are wanting to steal as much money from everybody in sight all the time, it's weird that they would leave Wallingford alone. Granted, it's small, but still, yeah, there's money to want to get them too. Maybe there was some powerful legislator who protected Wallingford back at some critical moment.
Well, I just think it flew underneath the radar screen. It was like, okay, the big money is where United Illuminating and Eversource, of course. This is just small potatoes compared to that. You're talking about 20,000, 30,000 homes in Wallingford versus, you know, several million, a million and a half homes throughout the state. So I think that's part of it. And I think, again, Todd, you and I might be persona non grata in Wallingford after next year, because I have a funny feeling that the people in Hartford, once they realize this, are gonna make this a target next year. You watch. I will predict it. Let's write this down. Today is May 20th, 2022. I predict by May 20th, 2023, Wallingford may be stuck with the same energy politics that the rest of us are stuck with, and it's going to be reflected in an increase in their utility rates.
So why is electricity going up right now? What's the story right now?
Well, there's two sources. There's the immediate sources, and then there's the long-term sources. The immediate source, of course, is the fact that oil and gas energy prices are going right through the roof, and that's being caused by a couple of factors. One is the war in Ukraine and what's going on over there. And another thing is the politics of the Biden administration cutting, stopping the Keystone XL pipeline, et cetera. They're anti-fracking and anti-fossil fuel.
Okay, so larger political movements of
right.
Okay,
right, and that's it. But the other factor is the political end of it that you and I were just talking about. All roughly about 25 to 30% of the energy costs that are in a utility bill in Connecticut now are related to renewable energy, which is, until lately, has been double or triple the cost of fossil fuel created energy or nuclear created energy. So all that inflated cost are forced on the utilities, which then pass it on to the consumers. And they're forced by the politicians in Connecticut who have passed this crazy legislation. And that's why we're going to see brownouts coming soon, because all this renewable energy is intermittent. It's unreliable. So it's the worst.
But Len, you worked with these people. If you were discussing this with a Democrat, why they would be supporting something that would artificially increase the cost of electricity so that you could buy it from a less reliable source that's supposedly greener, why would they support that? And how would they explain it to you when you were sitting there saying this is crazy?
Well, it's part of the way partisan politics is lined up in the country. So on the Democratic side of the aisle, there's all the Greens, the environmental activists. And so the Democratic Party's power, to some extent, relies on the support from that constituency. So they need to placate that constituency.
But they didn't say that to you, though, did they?
No, of course not.
But they must have given you an argument. Is there a credible argument besides what you're saying, which is just craven politics?
No, their argument is it's for this to save the world. It's the green energy argument all over again, that the world is coming to an end if we don't curtail carbon emissions. So it's save the planet thinking, basically, is the ostensible justification.
And do you think they believe that, or that they're just saying it because it's a cover story? Because why would you do it in advance of the natural development?
I will tell you, I think is they do believe it, because most of them are lazy. They don't research this information. They don't go on, and it's good politics because they got half the country scared to death that the world is coming to an end in 8 years now if we don't go to zero carbon emissions.
I don't know anybody who's scared to death, though. Do you?
Most of the people I know that that's a lot of poppycock, but the politicians, I think they start believing their own arguments, really. You start
it makes
something
sense.
Over and over again. You know, you start believing your own lies after a while.
Yeah.
It's sad. And what we need, Todd, I'll close by this because I know that we don't have that much more time.
We're out.
One of the things that disappointed me in politics was the lack of depth, the lack of gravitas, if you will, in the political debates about the important issues of our time. Energy policy is one of those huge issues. It's not just another issue. It's huge because it's an integral part of the standard of living that we enjoy. People just take it for granted. They
gotta
don't
go.
Realize. Yep.
Okay, sorry, so. Len Suzio, thank you so much for coming back and explaining this, because I think
it
needed it.
Have a great weekend, Todd.
Yeah, you too. Yep. Appreciate it. Len Suzio, former state senator and explainer of things complicated and expensive. Mark Christopher.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Yeah, it's WTIC. 860-522-9842. Steve in Springfield. Hi, Steve.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how you doing? When you were talking about, yeah, that's really marvelous, good for Wallingford. But the thing is, the Democrats are out to destroy the middle class. I think they're really still mad at white flight. They want to bring illegal aliens to replace the working class voters that stopped voting Democrat. And this whole climate change, if you type it in with public transportation, this is their solution. You know, and these books on urban planning, they talk about how great it is to live in public housing and you get to see your neighbors every day. But it's in all these dull, boring books on urban planning that nobody reads.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So you're saying that they're not, they've got a scheme, a larger scheme up their sleeve.
Oh yeah, it's some people are dumb enough to believe in climate change, but the rest of them know what they're doing. And it's a plan to basically get you to be on public transportation 40 to 50% of the time, have more public transportation in the suburbs, raise the price of gas so that you can't afford to drive a car.
But why is that all good for Democrats?
Well, what it is, it's going to force people to live in a more urban setting. It's going to basically destroy the freedom of the suburbs, which they're still angry at white flight, believe me. They're very angry. Obama was furious about white flight, and he kept talking about changing the laws and zoning laws in the suburbs.
All right, Steve.
To bring in more drug treatment centers, to bring in more public.
Yeah, but I don't get why they have to expand anything. They can ruin anything they want. I feel like their primary motive for specific things they do to the suburbs is to transfer wealth into the cities because the cities are going bankrupt.
Yeah, well, I think the dirty little secret is a lot of white working class and a lot of working class in general have abandoned the Democrat Party.
Well, yeah, the working folk are doing that. Thank you, Steve. Have a good weekend. 860-522-9842. The The grandness of the strokes there are a little problematic for me. I just want to be able to grasp the argument, and I don't see the evidence for all of that, but part of it is definitely operative, and I just want to figure out all those pieces and put them together.
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
WTIC, interesting conversation with Len Susio, always, isn't it? 860-522-9842, Bob in Waterbury. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Todd. I heard the commercial or the thing about President Biden wanting us to be energy efficient by 2035. I'm all for that. But the thing is, when the sun doesn't shine, we have no area, we have no way to save the energy. And the wind stops, we have no way to save the energy. And then you got to power up the plants again. I think, you know, a couple years down the road when we have, so I don't know how you're going to.
No, it's a great dilemma. How do you store this stuff that is energy that you can't control when you use it? The trouble is, if you're, you know, you've got that capacity that's in wind and solar, but then you also need to have the traditional capacity. So what good
right.
is it
well,
having?
Well, then you've got to fire up the plants.
Right.
Like a couple ago, it was like 7 or 8 days the sun didn't shine. So you're not getting no solar there. Now, the wind things out in Long Island, so I'm pretty sure the wind keeps going all the time. I'll give you that. But still, we can't store it. And those wind blades, like 300 feet long, I've watched Discovery Channel. Those things are made out of like this super carbon stuff, but they are not, they do have to be replaced. I mean, they pull these guys up on helicopters, they go, and you see all these little rips and tears. So now you're going to pull down these blades, 300 feet long, mm-hmm. about the size of a bus, and now where are you going to put them? Where are you going to put all these blades?
Is that how long those are, 300 feet?
Well, on this one show out Midwest,
yep.
they are huge.
Yeah.
There's one in New Haven, and I'm sure that's not 300 feet. But these things are really huge, and they're made out of this really stuff. But, you know, the little fine grit in the air after 24/7 spinning around after about 10 years, you got to do something with these blades. Now, where are you going to put these 300-foot-long buses? I mean, no one even thought about that.
Well, what are they made out of?
Oh, I don't know, special carbon stuff.
Yeah, but why they can't recycle that? I would think they'd make everything recyclable.
I don't think so, because, well, I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah.
But I don't think so.
I haven't gotten that far into it, but I did see a story recently where it was talking about, there was a picture, maybe this is what you saw, where it was like this huge graveyard for all this stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so, which, but then that's a NIMBY thing. Where are you going to put all these things? Not my backyard, but I agree. I want to go solar green and solar too, but it's like a waste of time. Like a couple weeks ago, we didn't see the sun for like 7 days. What are you going to do then? I can't wait to see all these Teslas stuck on the side of the road when we have a cloudy like week and a half. And they can't charge their batteries.
It will be an interesting thing to see. Thank you, Bob, for that. 860-522-9842. The whole Elon Musk in the, you know, I played a few cuts from an interview with Elon Musk. He was on a podcast. And one of the things he said during the podcast was that that solar is wonderful and that it's just getting better and it's going to be a huge source of electricity over the long term. But the storage thing is an issue now, but it won't be. He says that will be solved. I don't know. We'll see about the solar thing. I have put a lot of faith in Elon, but at the same time, he is to some extent a politician because of he's got to say things maybe that politicians want to hear. So I'm not so sure. Tom's in Fairfield next. Hi, Tom.
Hey, I love this topic, you know, because I don't hear too many solar panels being made in this country. So let's say we switch to 100% to solar, then they only wear out in like 25 years at the most. So then we're completely dependent on China for our energy needs.
Well, why couldn't we start to make the solar panels?
Well, they don't, because Good question. I'll tell you probably one reason. It's full of toxic metals that you cannot handle well in this country.
For the production or for the recycling or both?
Production and recycling. It's just like with computers, you know, they send them to Africa and they pollute Africa with the old computers and
so
stuff.
So you think it's such a toxic construction environment that it would be hard to get around our regulations here?
Well, you know what kills me is they don't even talk about passive solar stuff that got popular in the 70s anymore. And they should be doing that. If they, for the amount of money it costs, like solar hot water, solar walls, so to speak, to heat up the buildings, things like that are much more practical and can be made 100% in this country.
So passive solar, you mean just like a hot water pipe going through a rooftop and getting heated by the sun without having to have all that conversion technology?
Yeah, well, not only that, it's all not. It could be all standard equipment that we already make here, and it would be just as employment intensive.
But it'd be low tech.
It'd be low tech, yeah. I mean, we've been using low tech solar for a billion years so far.
And there's also this stuff about building houses in certain ways or buildings in certain
exactly,
ways. So the sun hits the
design, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like sort of like your car, you know, how your car gets even in the wintertime. And kind of a comedic note, I figured out I have to keep a can of soup on my dashboard right now about 25 minutes to get it at eating temperature.
Well, that sounds kind of scary if that's the meal. But, you know, that might be what we're all doing soon, the way they seem to be dismantling our society. Thank you, sir. 860-522-9842. George in Torrington next. Hi, George.
Hi. I had on the student debt.
The loan forgiveness,
forgiveness, yeah. Well, loan forgiveness is income to the debtor. So if we're going to, you know, forgive these loans from these people, it ought to count as income to them.
Well, then the government would have to be buying out the people who were handling the loan. But doesn't the government... Isn't the government giving the money for the loan and it's just being administered by a middleman?
It could be.
I think that's how it works.
But you're still forgiving a debt. And as it stands right now, the IRS is going to say, hey, that's income to you.
Yeah, so that's taxable.
That's taxable. You can give them a choice. Either pay your loan back or we'll forgive it, but you're going to pay tax on what is forgiven.
Well, but what do you think about the whole idea of people being forgiven their loans?
I think it sucks.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I had to pay my loans back. I mean, nobody's looking to bail me out.
Yeah, it's inherently unfair.
Of course.
Well, thank you for that. Good to get your opinion. Have yourself a good weekend. 860-522-9842. And don't forget to call the rant line, 860-751-4698. Scott's next. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, I just have one thing I hear about. I was listening to your energy policy. One thing I hear about method of energy is taking a, you know, fossil plant, whether it's coal or natural gas or whatever, and they have what's called CCS, which is carbon capture and storage. Mm-hmm. And it's a process. I don't know how much you've heard of it, but you take an existing plant,
it's basically capping the exhaust and cleaning that stuff up.
It skips the CO2, turns it into a liquid, and basically they take it and they pump it back into oil well, you know, into the ground. And
yep.
It's a strong covalent bond, so it doesn't react with anything. And it's a good way to take existing infrastructure and make carbon free energy with it. The overall plant takes a hit. I mean, it doesn't. The plant efficiency drops a little bit because you have to spend some energy to
do the recycling.
Yeah, right. But it's still, you take an existing $1 billion plant making, I don't know, 1,000 megawatts of power, and okay, now you make 800, but it's an existing asset, you know, and it's with some modifications, and it's proven technology. They just bought one online in Texas at 500 megawatts. I mean, it's commercial now. So I'm surprised it doesn't get more press. Everyone talks about wind and solar. Well, that's great, but there's no way to store that, and there's no way to get energy when you need it. You get energy when the wind wants to blow, but with thermal energy, you get it when you want it. You have a fuel pile, and then you have the ability to sequester the CO2 and not put it into the sky. I'm surprised it doesn't make the news more.
Yes, it's an interesting question you're raising. It might be that it's just not developed enough, that it's more of
It's totally developed. They have commercial. There's a 500 megawatt plant in Texas
right. That
came online 5 years ago.
And what else is there?
Well, that's the only one, but there's other ones that are the DOE is financing right now. There's one in Illinois called the Prairie State Energy Center. That's going to be another 1,000 megawatt one coming online.
Uh-huh.
The financials aren't there for it to work on its own, but with little DOE help, they work just like subsidized wind. And then as the industry grows and the industry becomes more mature, it's a viable solution. Again, thermal energy is energy when you want it, not when the wind blows, because there's no battery solution yet.
Right. All right. Appreciate it, Scott. Good to hear from you. It's I guess this is a topic we need to look into further because it's interesting and it's complicated. And, you know, there's expertise in each of these different little niches that we're hearing brought up. We'll go to Farmington now. Marie, hi.
Good to hear from you.
Hello?
Yes, Marie, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm on the air. I have a story that happened many years ago. Some family had a babysitter, and the babysitter used an oil lamp because the family couldn't afford to pay for the electricity,
mm-hmm.
and the electricity was turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the oil lamp, something happened, and there was a fire, and the youngster that was being babysitted for died.
Okay.
It must have been written up in the paper. I remember that quite clearly.
Okay.
Because I thought that was so sad that for dollars, the Connecticut Lighting Company turned the lights off, and that included the electricity for the house, the lights.
So you think everyone should get free electricity to make sure they don't use an oil lamp?
Not free. There should be some kind of payment or someone assisting them if they were in a low-income group.
Well, I think there is that, but...
By now.
Yeah, well, so you're talking about something a long time ago. Thank you, Marie. Armand in Avon. Hi, Armand. Yes, Armand, you're on the air. That a weird little sound there. Must be a bad cell connection. The complexity of this and the opportunities represented are fascinating. And the thing that, again, tweaked me on it is that Elon Musk is talking about solar like it's going to be the thing. That he talks about solar as, he says, all you need is, I think he said 100 square miles of solar generative power of panels to cover the United States. I'll double check and we'll play the quote for you next week, but it's, you know, he talks about solar like it's really going to be this wonderful endpoint. And he was asked about fusion in this interview. And he said, even fusion, it's definitely going to happen, but it's so expensive. The materials that are used in creating the fusion are so difficult to obtain and so expensive that it's not worth doing. But it will be doable, fusion, he said. But since we already have this huge fusion reactor, he said, generating all of the heat that you could ever want in the form of the sun, then the appropriate way to get power is to develop the ability to pull it out of the sky, to pull it out of the sun, the energy the sun is putting out, which it was a really interesting way to explain it. And we'll see what happens with solar because it's moving very slowly. It seems. But eventually, maybe something big and wonderful is going to happen. All right, we've got Order Up coming up in the next hour. And we haven't really talked about it. We haven't had our meeting yet, Anthony and I. So we'll do that, and we will announce the topic coming up.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.